Hare Krishna. Such a delightful change to be in an ocean of brahmacharis. We see brahmacharis everywhere. Whether white or saffron, but all living very pure brahmachari lives. Even in a city like Bombay, which is full of the modes of passion and ignorance. So it is all the more creditable that you all are following the rules of brahmachari life so nicely and enthusiastically. So you all are actually better brahmacharis than those who are living in very sublime surroundings in terms of material atmosphere. But of course, you all are living in the most sublime atmosphere because this is directly the spiritual world here. The spiritual ambience is beyond compare. I wanted to speak a few words on the current topic that's being... You know what the topic is. The topic is, of course, sannyas, since that is the ceremony that has just taken place. So, some words, I thought it is nice to speak on that. First of all, I would like to thank all the devotees who did so much service to make so many arrangements for the huge gathering that came, and many, many other things like the prasadam, the control of the crowd, and even keeping the Bombay devotees away with arranging for so many SMSs had to be sent and make working out the web telecast and things like that. Many, many things were there. So thank all the devotees who involved themselves in that seva so that ceremony could happen. I personally just came, sat there and went away. But many other devotees did so much of seva for that. Having gone through Srila Prabhupada's books, and especially as I was just reading a bit on sannyas, there are many, many things which are very instructive. Of course, today it's not possible to discuss many of the things Srila Prabhupada has said, but maybe we can touch upon a few points. Several people, as I mentioned yesterday morning also, they did come up or they wrote that why sannyas in this age when it is forbidden. Even within our movement, there are devotees who speak like that. Yesterday morning also I briefly mentioned that the sannyas that is forbidden is karma sannyas. It is a kind of sannyas which is not feasible in this age. I was reading an article by one of Srila Prabhupada's famous godbrothers, Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj. And the same question had been asked to him, incidentally. And he gave the same reply, and then he elaborated. And he said that karma sannyas means to give up all kinds of karma. But in this age of Kali, it is not possible. He gave the example of how in earlier ages, people like Ratnakar, who later became Valmiki, they could perform austerities without food, without water, without even breathing perhaps, for long years. In Satyayuga, the life airs are in the bone marrow. So even if the flesh is completely decomposed, eaten up by ants and so on, as it was in the case of Valmiki Muni, or even in the case of Hiranyakashipu, for example, the person is still able to be alive because the life airs are there. Then later it moves into the nerves as the ages go by. And in Kali Yuga, it is in anna, in food. So in Kali Yuga, we cannot survive without food. Sridhar Maharaj mentions in that lecture that in previous ages, fasting meant minimum 12 days. That's why sometimes we get a little surprised when we hear stories of Maharaj Ambarish fasting and breaking the fast, and it's sometimes confusing. What is the meaning of this kind of fasting? So their fasting was for long periods of time. Things were possible in earlier ages which are unthinkable today. Yesterday in Ramkatha we were hearing about Lakshman not sleeping for 14 years. By Kali Yuga standards, impossible. We cannot do that. But Lakshman, of course, is also the Supreme Lord. And he could do it. But nevertheless, even as a citizen of Treta Yuga, many, many extraordinary things were possible. So fasting for 12 days was like a minimum norm. If somebody wanted to fast, it was considered like 12 days minimum. Just like on Ekadashi, then as the time went by, then it became Nirjala on Ekadashis. Then everybody fasted Nirjala Ekadashis, even the Shudras and everybody fasted. It was understood that Ekadashi means Nirjal. And then as the time went on, the dependence of the body on grains increases more, on food. And then the standard has come down to what is called anukalpa. That means you can take non-grains prasadam, fruits and vegetables and so on, milk. And nirjala, it is hard to do for everybody. Each person has a different physical constitution. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also used to caution his disciples when some of his even sannyasis, they fasted nirjala but were not able to do the services as usual. He said, ours is a preaching mission, not a fasting mission. What Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was trying to say is not that we should not fast, but he was saying that if you can't do your service because you're fasting, then better not to fast. Nirjala, I mean. The bare minimum prescribed, the anukalpa, that we must follow. And beyond that, if you are able to do, it's all right, but not at the cost of service and sadhana and so on. So as time has gone on, things have become more and more gross. And now even to fast for one day is a very big thing. Many devotees just dread that one day, Pandava Nirjala Ekadashi, when we have to fast from the previous sunset to the next day, fasting right through the day, and the next day at sunrise you break the fast. So therefore, in Kali Yuga, to do all those practices is impossible. We have to perform karma, we have to work to maintain the body. It is not possible. So karma sannyas is not possible in this age. Then there was one lecture of Srila Prabhupada in 1968. The early years of the movement, in which he spoke about sannyas, and he mentioned that the word sannyas is composed of two words, sat and nyas. Sat refers to the absolute truth, the supreme absolute truth, and nyas means renunciation. So sannyas means renouncing the world for the sake of serving the Supreme Absolute Truth. So, in the word Sat, or the Supreme Absolute Truth, is included the principle of servitude. So when we say that one is renouncing the world to attain the Supreme Lord, that word attain could have different meanings according to the kind of path we are following in spiritual life. The Mayavadis, for example, may say that attain means to become or to merge. But the devotees, of course, have a different conception. Devotees say to attain means to attain pure service, to attain pure love at the lotus feet of the Lord. So in following that spirit, Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain that sannyas means preaching. Elsewhere he explained that sannyas is a matter of attitude, not a matter of the dress and the staff, that is the rod, the danda. And without that, sannyas is not of much meaning. Then he explained which kind of sannyas is forbidden in Kali Yuga. He said there are, this is the same 1968 lecture, he said there are many Mayavadi sannyasis loitering the streets, looking for food to fill their bellies, thinking themselves to be Narayan. But they have no interest in preaching. And all they're concerned with is their maintenance of the body. So this kind of sannyas is not of any value. Another time Srila Prabhupada had quoted one old Indian English proverb which said, big, big monkey, big, big belly, Ceylon jumping, melancholy. So referring to such renunciants who simply fill their bellies, but when they are asked to do something extraordinary, to go out and preach and to deliver the world and so on, or to spread the message of the Lord, then they suddenly become very melancholic, they become morose, they don't want to do that. Like Hanuman did something extraordinary. He jumped over the ocean, he fought with the army of Ravana, he did many wonderful things in the service of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada explains that this is not sannyas where somebody takes to it just to fill his belly. He must do preaching or devotional service. Of course, in our movement, everything is preaching. Every devotee is doing different kind of activities that in one way or the other, directly or indirectly, affect the preaching. So Srila Prabhupada's emphasis is on this, that one must constantly serve the Supreme Lord. So our goal of sannyas, Srila Prabhupada explains, is not mukti or liberation, but it is to please the Supreme Lord. So whenever sannyas is taken, it is a matter of doing it for the sake of pleasing Krishna, not for some self-attainment of liberation. For a devotee, that in any case is assured if he or she remains on the path in a steadfast way. The attainment of liberation in the Vaishnava understanding is not dependent on the external symbols that we acquire, of dress and staff or ashram and varna and so on. It is dependent on the purity of our heart, on the quality of our devotion and our service and so on. So therefore, everything that is done in Krishna consciousness is for the sake of enhancing service, for the sake of expanding preaching, and that is precisely why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also took sannyas. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the first one who actually, since the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who formally introduced sannyas for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. At the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were others also who had taken sannyas, like Swarup Damodar, but he retained his brahmachari name, Swarup. And there were others also who were senior to Mahaprabhu from the worldly point of view, like Brahmananda Puri, Paramananda Puri, they were all sannyasis. And there were others too, Vishnu Puri, many others. So there is such a system there, even at the time of Mahaprabhu it was there. But thereafter, it was mostly the six Goswamis who led renunciant lives, but they did not formally accept the staff and the symbols of renunciation, they were Paramahansas. They wore only white cloths, a bahirvas. Bahirvas refers to the what we call the dhoti or the lungi. They only wore that, and the kopin, of course. And they wore white. We will never hear of the six Goswamis wearing saffron. In fact, one time when Sanatan Goswami wore saffron cloth, there was trouble. We'll maybe read a little bit of that pastime if time permits. So they were not concerned with the saffron color. They were concerned only with pure devotional service. However, as time passed on, there were many, many exalted Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the Acharyas came along. But however, there were also many instances when people who were not on the standard of Paramahansas began to imitate the dress of a Paramahansa, perhaps for getting some name and fame easily, or perhaps for some other reasons. And then the decline of the Vaishnavas began, of the Vaishnava movement began, Mahaprabhu's movement, in the sense that there was a dark period when many people were not representing Mahaprabhu's mission properly. They posed themselves as Paramhansas by wearing the white bahirvas of the Paramhansas, but they were not on that platform. So that brought some disrepute to the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Many apasampradayas also sprung up. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his writings very severely pointed out and criticized these apasampradayas for deviating from the original pure and sublime teachings of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And he even enumerated 13 of such apasampradayas. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was familiar with the Babajis and the Paramhamsas. His own spiritual master, Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, was a Paramhansa. He was not wearing saffron. He was in his white bahirvas. And he was also familiar with others. But he felt the need to introduce two things, actually several things, but two things in connection to today's talk. One is the saffron color cloth, and the second is the order of sannyas. And what was his logic? Srila Prabhupada has explained in his purports at different places in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says basically, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, Vaishnava means Paramhamsa, real Vaishnava. And a real Vaishnava is beyond the Varnashram system. Because to be within the Varnashram means that you are within the three modes of material nature. But a Vaishnava, being a pure devotee, is completely on the transcendental platform. And therefore, he is beyond the designation of even a sannyasi. So he remains as a Paramahansa. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, but we are not impudent enough to think that we are Paramahansas. We do not think that we are better than Paramahansas. And therefore, he says that in order to exhibit, demonstrate that we are not actually Paramhansas or beyond, we have accepted the saffron cloth and we sometimes accept the sannyas order to show that we are below the Paramhansas, not beyond. So then it may sound ironic, but the fact is that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that he introduced the sannyas order within the Gaudiya Vaishnavas to show that the sannyasi is lower, not higher. That we are not fit to be real Vaishnavas, to be Paramahamsas. So therefore we want to be within the Varnashrama system. So we will follow Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha sannyas system. And in this way, he basically introduced the very important idea of humility. And the order of sannyas is meant for humility because it makes us realize that I am not Paramahansa. Just because we have a staff, then doesn't mean we become very exalted. Rather, one remains in a very subordinate position. I would like to quote one particular passage from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada's purport. It's very illuminating about what sannyas really is. This is in relation to the same pastime that I just briefly alluded to earlier, where Sanatana Goswami happened to wear a saffron cloth given to him by another sannyasi in Braj on his head as a turban, and Jagadananda Pandit saw it and he was upset. And then Sanatana Goswami pacified him, and basically he said, "I just wanted to see your faith. I'm happy to see that. It has given me inspiration." So Sanatana Goswami renounced that saffron cloth immediately. But Srila Prabhupada's purport, I would like to read. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments on this incident as follows. Vaishnavas are all liberated persons, unattached to anything material. Therefore, a Vaishnava need not accept the dress of a sannyasi to prove his exalted position. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the renounced order from a sannyasi of the Mayavad school. Present-day Vaishnava sannyasis, however, never think that by accepting the dress of the sannyas order, they have become equal to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, a Vaishnava accepts the sannyas order to remain an eternal servant of his spiritual master. He accepts the sannyas order knowing that he is unequal to his spiritual master, who is a Paramahamsa, and he thinks that he is unfit to dress like a Paramahamsa. Therefore, a Vaishnava accepts sannyas out of humility, not out of pride. Sanatana Goswami had adopted the dress of a Paramahamsa. Therefore, it was inappropriate for him to wear the saffron cloth on his head. However, a Vaishnava sannyasi does not think himself fit to imitate the dress of a Paramahamsa Vaishnava. According to the principles set down by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Trinadapi Sunichena, one should always think himself in the lowest stage, not on the level of a Paramahamsa Vaishnava. Thus, a Vaishnava will sometimes accept the sannyas order just to keep himself below the level of a Paramahamsa Vaishnava. This is the instruction of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's very instructive and illuminating. It shows what our acharyas have said about sannyas. It is not a step to be taken for prestige. It is not to be taken for anything else other than what the acharyas have indicated. One is for the sake of expanding preaching. Another for the sake of reinforcing the sense of humility that we are the eternal servants of the Guru Parampara, the spiritual master. And we are not fit to be Paramahamsa, so we should not imitate them. We should always keep ourselves below in our mind. And of course, taking the sannyas order also reinforces the spirit of renunciation of the objects of sense gratification and reinforces and strengthens our resolve and commitment to dedicate our life for serving the Supreme Lord without any ulterior motives. So the above mentioned are the only objectives for taking sannyas. There is also another small pastime from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which I would like to read out. This pertains to the discussion between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The descriptions of these two pastimes and the depiction of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is slightly different in the Chaitanya Bhagavat and in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But nevertheless, the essential points are there. As we all know, when Mahaprabhu took sannyas, soon thereafter he went to Jagannath Puri, and he went to have darshan of Lord Jagannath, and he was so attracted by the beautiful form of Lord Jagannath that he went forward to embrace him. And then he developed ecstatic symptoms of love. He could not control himself externally, and he fell to the ground with a loud sound. The doorkeepers thought that he was some miscreant. They did not understand. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya happened to be present there. He was taking darshan of the Lord. And he immediately forbade the doorkeepers to do anything wrong to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he personally had him brought to his house. And they developed a kind of a nice relationship. There was prasadam at Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. And then this particular discussion takes place. Of course, here Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is a devotee from the beginning. So I'll read also the Bengali. It's very simple, but it's very sweet and nice. So one day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in a solitary place. Prabhu bole shuno Sarvabhauma Mahashay, tomare kohi je ami apno hriday. Listen, Sarvabhauma Mahashay, let me reveal my heart to you. Jagannath dekhite jehi ailam ami, uddesh amar mula etho achi tumi. Although I came to see Jagannath, my main purpose here was to meet you. Jagannath amare ki kohiben katha, tumi se amar bandha chindibe sarvatha. Will Jagannath speak to me? It is you who will completely destroy my material bondage. Tumate se boishe shri Krishna purna shakti, tumi shaiti bare para Krishna prema bhakti. You are fully empowered by Lord Krishna, so you are able to award one loving devotional service. Ete ke tumara ami loini ashray, taha karo je rupe amar bhalo hoy. Therefore I take shelter of you. Do whatever you consider is beneficial for me. Ki vidhi koribo mui thakibo ki rupe, jei mote na paro mui ei sansar kupe. What rules and regulations should I follow? How should I live? Please instruct me so that I do not fall into the well of material life. Shrava upadesha more kaho amayai, amise tomara hoi jano sarvathai. Please instruct me without reservation. Know for certain that I am a soul surrendered unto you. In this way, Sri Gaurahari used various means to delude Sarvabhauma while speaking to him. Without realizing the Lord's intention, Sarvabhauma began to speak about the religious duties of living entities. So even before a grihastha like Sarvabhauma, it is interesting how Mahaprabhu as a sannyasi took such a humble position. Even though Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya recognized that the sannyas ashram was considered higher than the grihastha ashram, and it was the duty of a grihastha to offer all respects to sannyasis, but we see how Mahaprabhu is speaking to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Then Sarvabhauma started speaking. Sarvabhauma balenam kohila jato tumi, sakala tomara bhalo boshilam ami. Sarvabhauma said, I appreciate everything you have said. The devotion that has awakened in you is certainly most wonderful and beyond description. Krishna kripa hoyache tomaro pore, shabe eka koriyache nahe vyavahare. You have attained Krishna's mercy, but you have done one thing that is improper. পরম সুবুদ্ধি তুমি হইয়া আপনে, তবে তুমি সন্ন্যাস করিলা কি কারণে? অল দো ইউ আর মোস্ট ইন্টেলিজেন্ট, ওয়াই ডিড ইউ টেক সন্ন্যাস? So although he had forbidden, he had quoted that verse, Ashwamedha Gavalam one, but Mahaprabhu himself took sannyas. And elsewhere in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is mentioned how he approved of his older brother Vishwarup having taken sannyas also. Bhala koila Vishwarup sannyas korila, pitrakula matrakula dui uddharila. He said, it's good, my older brother Vishwarup took sannyas, and now he has delivered both the maternal and paternal dynasties. So certainly Mahaprabhu approved of sannyas. His elder brother, he appreciated that, his sannyas, and himself also he took. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has not appreciated that. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, it is not proper what you have done. What was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's logic?
বুঝো দেখি বিচারিয়া কি আছে সন্ন্যাসে, প্রথমে বদ্ধ হয় অহংকার পাশে।
জাস্ট কনসিডার, হোয়াট ইজ দ্য ইউজ অফ অ্যাকসেপ্টিং সন্ন্যাস? ওয়ান ইমিডিয়েটলি বিকামস বাউন্ড বাই দ্য রোপস অফ ফলস ইগো। সো ইন আদার ওয়ার্ডস, সার্বভৌম ভট্টাচার্য ইজ সেইং দ্য ফার্স্ট থিং দ্যাট হ্যাপেন্স ওয়েন ইউ টেক সন্ন্যাস ইজ ইউ গেট বাউন্ড বাই দ্য রোপস অফ ফলস ইগো। So I am taking this opportunity of this brahmachari class to basically preach to myself. This is the best way when we are preaching or speaking. The first candidate we are preaching to is ourselves. So these are good instructions for any new sannyasi to hear repeatedly, so things become firmly imprinted in the consciousness.
দণ্ডধরি মহাজ্ঞান হয় আপনারে, কাহারেও বলে জোড় হস্ত নাহি করে।
জোড় হস্ত মিন্স হ্যান্ডস ফোল্ডেড। ওয়ান হু কনসিডার্স আ দণ্ডা, ক্যারিজ আ দণ্ডা, কনসিডার্স হিমসেলফ আ গ্রেট পার্সন অ্যান্ড ডজ নট ফোল্ড হিজ হ্যান্ডস বিফোর এনি ওয়ান। দিস ইজ সার্বভৌম ভট্টাচার্যের এক্সপিরিয়েন্স। And he is talking specifically about Mayavadi sannyasis, as will become apparent as it goes on. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is trying to make the point that you are such a nice Vaishnava. Why have you taken the sannyas order? What is the need for you? And his conclusion was that you already have pure devotion, so you don't need sannyas.
যার পদ ধুলি লইতে বেদের অভিহিত, হেন জন নমস্কারে তবু নহে ভীত।
There are some people whom the Vedas declare are very exalted and one should take the dust from their lotus feet. But a sannyasi is not even afraid to accept obeisances from such a person. And he may at best offer a token of respect to that exalted person.
অহংকার ধর্ম এই কভু ভালো নহে, বুঝো এই ভগবতে যেন মত কহে।
ফলস ইগো ইজ নেভার গুড, ট্রাই টু আন্ডারস্ট্যান্ড দ্য ওয়ার্ডস অফ শ্রীমদ ভাগবতম ইন দিস রিগার্ড। দেন হি কোটস দ্য ভার্স ইন ভাগবতম উইচ অ্যাপিয়ার্স ইন টু প্লেসেস, ওয়ান্স ইন দ্য থার্ড ক্যান্টো অ্যান্ড ওয়ান্স ইন দ্য ইলেভেন্থ ক্যান্টো, দ্য সেম ভার্স।
প্রণমে দণ্ডবত ভূমা আশ্বচাণ্ডাল গোখরম প্রবিষ্ট জীব কলয়া তত্রৈব ভগবান ইতি।
Realizing that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has entered the body of every living entity as a super soul, one should offer obeisances before all, even the dogs, outcasts, cows and asses falling flat upon the ground like a rod. So this is the standard of the Bhagavatam. It reminds us of Ramanuja's story, that one time he was going to some place along with his followers, and he asked, they somehow lost the way, and they asked a passerby, and the passerby pointed out, you go in this direction. Ramanuja was so happy and grateful that you offered prostrated full obeisances to that person. The followers bewildered. They also followed suit, of course. One time, there were some little boys playing in the mud or the sand. And then they kind of mocked Ramanuja by saying, "Oh, holy sage, see here is the Lord." Ramanuja took it very seriously and he again offered full dandavat obeisances. There are several such instances in Ramanujacharya's life and life of many, many others like this, which can be sometimes not understood by others. So the Srimad Bhagavatam standard is that one recognizes that every living entity has not just the soul but also the super soul, and one should offer respect to every living entity and not offend any living entity. So it's not just a question of not offending Vaishnavas, but it's also a question of not offending any living entity unnecessarily. Brahmanadi kukkura chandalanta kori dandavata kori beke bahumanna kori. You should offer full obeisances to all living entities, including the brahmanas, dogs and dog eaters. So Sarvabhauma is saying you should offer full obeisances even to the dogs and dog eaters. Eishe vaishnava dharma savare pranati shei dharma dhaji jara ithi nahi roti. Vaishnava etiquette is to offer respects to everyone, but one who is a hypocrite has no attachment for this. Shikha sutra ghuchaya shab ei lab namaskara kore ashi maha maha bhag. The only gain in giving up one's shikha and brahmana thread is that respectable people offer one their obeisances. You think that is the only gain you have? Of course, in one sense it's not a gain, but he's speaking, so to speak, tongue-in-cheek, that it's the only gain is people, even respectable people, will offer you their respects. And the reference here to giving up one shikha and brahmana thread is that in the Mayavad school, at the time of taking sannyas, they shave off the shikha and also they renounce the sacred thread. In Vaishnava sampradayas, however, even after taking sannyas, the sacred thread and the shikha are maintained. Srila Prabhupada explains in one purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that some Madhva sannyasis do have the option, among the Ashtamathas, they do have the option of giving up the shikha and the sacred thread. They do that. But otherwise, mostly in the Vaishnava school, the tradition is to keep the shikha and the sacred thread. But Mayavadis don't do that. And since the prominent sannyas that was recognized at the time of Mahaprabhu was Mayavad sannyas, which is why incidentally Mahaprabhu took sannyas from the Mayavad school, is what also Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya recognized. It must be that he had mostly seen the Mayavadi sannyasis who had given up their shikha and their sacred thread. So he was talking like that. Prathame shuniye ei eka apachai ebe ara shuno sarvanasha buddhi khai. This is the first loss in accepting sannyas. So now he talks about the first gain, that everybody offers respect, but actually it's a loss. So it's a loss that everybody is offering you respect, as a result of which you feel you're worthy of that respect and that you don't want to offer respect to others. Now hear about the other loss by which one's intelligence becomes polluted.
Jivarasva bhava dharma ishvara bhajan taha chadi apanare bali narayan.
I think those of you who understand Hindi also will understand this, isn't it? The constitutional duty of the living entity is to worship the Supreme Lord. But after taking sannyas, one gives up that worship and calls himself Narayan. Again, in his purports in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada quotes this line, danda grahana matrena nara narayano bhavet. The Mayavadis believe that once they take sannyas, danda grahana matrena, just by holding that danda, the nara, or the human being becomes Narayana. Some years ago, I remember there was a wonderful drama about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered Prakashananda Saraswati and the other sannyasis at Kashi. And I vividly remember our Govinda Prabhu and Shyamananda Prabhu were Prakashananda Saraswati and the Mayavadi sannyasis. And they had the Tripundra. And they were real, looked for real. They were not, they did a good job. They came grave as the deep ocean, not even the hint of a smile on the face, very sober and grave, very serious. You would get afraid to look at them, walking very stealthily, soberly, sitting down with measured steps, and then speaking gravely, Danda Grahana Matrena Nara Narayano Bhaved. So a wonderful drama that was done there. So that is the Mayavad conception, that just by holding the danda for taking sannyas, the Nara becomes Narayana. And that is what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is referring to here. The Supreme Lord protects the living entity when he is within the womb of his mother. By the Lord's mercy, that living entity obtains intelligence and knowledge. I'll skip the verses here. I'll just read the translation. Anantashesh, Brahma, Shiva, and the goddess of fortune always desire to obtain the service of that Supreme Lord whose servants carry out the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material manifestation. Yet, the shameless sannyasi claims to be the Supreme Lord. A sannyasi claims to be Narayan even though he does not know who he is when he sleeps. Prabhupada would sometimes say of the false avatars like that, that they claim themselves to be avatar, but when they have a toothache, they rush to the dentist. So he would say, what kind of an avatar is he? Similarly, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is saying that the sannyasi claims to be Narayan, but when he's sleeping, he doesn't know who he is. The Vedas declare that Krishna is the father of the entire universe, and the obedient son will respect his father. Skip a few verses. He speaks a lot about Krishna and very devotional verses here. He even says that actually Shankaracharya advocated devotion, service to the Lord. Sanyasi hoya nirabodhi Narayan bolibeke prema bhakti jogi anukhan. A sannyasi should constantly chant the name of Narayan with love and devotion. Na bujhiya Shankaracharya abhipray bhakti chadi matha murai dukkha pai. Those who do not understand Shankaracharya's intention and give up devotional service suffer even after shaving their heads. Atayeva tomare sei kohi ei ami heno pathe pravishta hoila keno tumi. Therefore I ask you, why have you taken such a path? Jodi Krishna bhakti joge koriba uddhar tabe shikha sutra taga kono labha ar. If you wish to deliver the world by distributing devotional service to Lord Krishna, then what need is there to give up your shikha and brahmana thread? In other words, to take sannyas. Why do you need to take sannyas to preach? If that's what you want to do, that's Sarvabhauma's point. If you wish to deliver the world, then why do you need to take sannyas? Jodi bolo Madhavendra Adi Mahabhag Taharao Koriyache Shikha Sutra Tag. You may say that great personalities like Madhavendra Puri have also given up their shikhas and brahmana threads. Tathapiha tomar sannyasa koribar ei samay ke mato hoibi adhikar. Still at this time, you are not ready for sannyas. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya tells Mahaprabhu.
Sei sab mahanta shesha tribhaga bayash gramya rasa bhunjiye sei korilo sannase.
All those great souls relished material enjoyment and took sannyas after 3/4 of their life had passed.
Yoivana praveshe matra shakale tamar keimote ba hoiba sannyase adhikar.
You have just entered the prime of your life, so how can you be qualified to take sannyas?
Paramartha sannyase ki koribo tomare jai bhakti hoi ache tomaro sharire.
What is the use of accepting sannyas when you have already developed such devotional sentiments?
Yogindradi shabare jai durlabha prasad tabe kene kori ache ei matto pramad.
This devotional service is rarely attained even by the best of the yogis. So why have you made such a mistake? After hearing Sarvabhauma's glorification of devotional service, Lord Gaurachandra became greatly pleased. The Lord said, "Listen, Sarvabhauma Mahashaya, do not consider me a sannyasi. I left home and shaved my head because I was disturbed by feelings of separation from Krishna. Forget that I am a sannyasi and bestow your mercy on me, so that my mind becomes fixed on Krishna."
Mahaprabhu was pleased because he understood that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was not condemning the principle of sannyas, of Tridanda sannyas, but he was against the principle of two things, of the wrong understanding of the sannyas order, wherein one becomes proud because of the position, prestige and respect and so on, and the other because one considers oneself to become God after taking sannyas. So Mahaprabhu approved of these critical comments by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya because they were completely in line with devotional conclusions. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's point was, if you take sannyas and you're not a devotee, what's the use of taking sannyas? And if you are a devotee, then what's the point of taking sannyas? Aradhito yadi hari tapasatatah kim, naradhito yadi hari tapasatatah kim. Right? Prabhupada quotes this verse. That if you are not worshipping Krishna, what's the value of your austerities? And if you are a devotee worshipping Krishna, then what need is there for austerities? Just worship Krishna. Just become a devotee. So even though Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya here is criticizing the Mayavad sannyas, but there are many instructive lessons to be learned here for all of us as devotees, regardless of whether officially we are in Brahmachari ashram or sannyas ashram or Grihastha ashram or anything. Because the principles of sannyas really are preaching and the Vaishnava principles of humility, and as His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj always explains and focuses on this point of how the principles of Vaishnava behavior and Vaishnava qualities are what mark out a devotee, not the official ashram that one is in. Maharaj also mentioned to me a couple of days ago that the extra respect that I will get as a result of holding the danda is not meant for me, it will be meant for the danda. So I should remember that. So I'm trying to remember that instruction. Hare Krishna. Maharaj, would you like to speak something? Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Radha Gopinath Prabhu, anything to say? Any comments or questions?
Now that you have given me permission, I'll speak. I'm sure yesterday's ceremony was most enlivening to practically every ashram who was seated there. I interacted with brahmacharis, I interacted with grihasthas, and everyone in various different ways felt so enthused, enlivened, and really focused to their in their own goal. Yesterday's ceremony, I felt the same kind of happiness a person feels when a quality product gets a suitable packaging. Or a good book gets a first-class covering, because the cover of the book, one of the purpose of the cover of the book is to indicate what is the content inside. And now I feel a good book has got a good covering, which was long due.
So long as it doesn't cover the intelligence and cloud the intelligence, no? That
the contents important. Are important. Covering, because it is a bona fide covering, it indicates the bona fide content. Knowing Devamrata Prabhu, sorry. Knowing His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrit.
No, this is important. You needn't. You can just continue to consider like that. Das, it's a comfortable position to be in. No
people
problem.
Will misunderstand if I say Devamrita Swami. You will always remain my Prabhu, no doubt.
I was more asking for comments on the philosophical things
you,
that I read.
You gave me
the
permission to speak,
points.
Now I'm going to speak. Earlier it was Deva Amrita, now it is Rasa Amrita. So, right from day one when I saw him, it gave me so much inspiration. Fortunately, I was his not only roommate, dabba mate. We had the same two boxes sharing together. I remember when I joined, the day I joined and I sent my resignation letter, it was a very spontaneous decision. And my brother flew to Bombay, and he came and he somehow tried to convince me that I should come back. And I was in two minds. I was in two minds what to do. I knew once he comes, he's going to create a lot of confusion in me, so I had shaved my head. And still he came, and then he spoke to me for a few hours and practically convinced me to come. But then I knew, heart of heart I knew, but I didn't know how to refuse him. Anyway, as he was convinced, you have been brainwashed, who is your main Swamiji? Take him to him. I'll tell him. So luckily Maharaj was there at that time. It was 1st January 1990. So I took him to Maharaj. And I went to Maharaj. I offered obeisances, hoping he will also follow suit. But he just stood there. He offered just respect and stood there. And then he started. Immediately he said, Swamiji, please tell him. I have no problem with joining. But he just should come, see his mother once, take his blessings, take her blessings and then come back. I have no problem. I am happy with this. I want, very nice. And Maharaj said, yes, you can go. And then he looked at me and said, over? I said, I didn't join because he told me, because I want to be here. And then Maharaj said, we are open. We welcome anyone. Anyone wants to come can stay here. Anyone wants to go can go. So he just removed the whole air from the big balloon and big thing he had come with. And then Maharaj said, but still I appreciate very few people take the decision that he has taken. But if he wants to go, you can go. So there was not much to say. He came down. And then when he came down, my real concern was he shouldn't meet anyone who will give some kind of a negative experience to him of a devotee. Because at that time we had a very unique kind of people with very with very, very special features and very unexpected what will happen when. So that was my only concern. And he came into my room and His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj was sitting there and I was very happy. Really, when I came here, I felt he's like the Yudhishthir Maharaj of the ashram. I felt very, very protected and safe, right to be next to the box of in the same room and felt taken care of and fully protected. So I was so happy that my brother met him, and then I went out. And 15 minutes of interaction, I don't know what they spoke, I was out, I was really praying. And then my brother came out and he said, you stay in the same room with him? Say, just by interacting with him, he said, I think it's a nice place. People are very good. So the way he spoke to my brother at that time itself, so over a period of years, I have seen the same consistency all along in terms of being very graceful, being very refined, being very, is I like an iron hand in a velvet glove. Very determined, but very gentle. But when he comes and holds you like this, you know what's coming. Hari Bol, Prabhu. I know now, 5 minutes later, some big thing is going to come. But he prepares it. It's like a good surgeon. Opens up, and then post-operative care is also very nice. And at the end, you feel really treated and, you know, healthy. So, I was reading a book, an article on mentoring. And this article spoke about how, what is authority? It says authority is something that one possesses by which he can influence others to do what they want others to do. That is called authority. And it says there are 4 ways of gaining authority. One is by position. If you're sitting in a particular chair, you have that teeth. You know who I am? Yes, yes, sir. So in military, etc., the authority is gained because of the position. 3 stripes. Then you have to salute him because you have 2 stripes. So that is authority gained by dint of position. Another authority that comes is by competence. If one is very, very experienced in something, when he speaks, he's so convincing because he has achieved something. When he speaks something, naturally people are receptive because he has actually achieved something. So by tremendous competence in a subject matter, they gain authority. The third thing people gain authority is by personality. If a person is very, very approachable, very, very, if people feel heard, if people feel understood, and they walk away feeling enlivened, enthused, clearer perspective to their problem or a line of action for their solution, then you know for sure that that personality naturally will gain some kind of authority and can influence others. And the fourth is character. Integrity, honesty, truthfulness, simplicity, whatever. Especially in spiritual circles, what really stands out in the long run is this principle, because purity means you can represent the absolute truth properly. You become a transparent channel or a via media. But in Prabhuji, in Maharaj, I actually found right from day one, consistency not only in terms of character, not only in terms of personality, not only in terms of competence, which he has proved beyond a doubt in the different responsibility that he has taken. And now I feel the last part which was lacking is added, that is position, which he was already commanding before, but now officially it has been anointed or given. And it's actually a pride to see someone really qualified who's already a leader being actually given position. Because a sannyasi, as discussed yesterday, there are two aspects. One is external, another one is internal. The external is ultimately the sannyasi is to facilitate and expand your service. So the external aspect is people give respect. Mahaprabhu took sannyas only because people would respect him. They were not actually understanding his intent, and they were unnecessarily, or by criticizing him, they were actually degrading themselves by offending. And of course, he is the Supreme Lord also. And therefore, that's why he said, the disease I have come and it's increasing. The medicine, what I have come to give, it is actually increasing. So he knew that people will respect him, and by showing respect, they'll become more favorable. They'll get the benefit. And in one lecture, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj told a very nice point. Why Ramchandra Khan sent this prostitute to Haridas Thakur? Because for a preacher, integrity or respect that he commands over others is the only way you can actually influence others. The moment people start respecting you, not respecting you, then you can't preach. Anything, whatever you speak, it will have no influence, no effect over others. So to the extent they can respect, to that extent they will actually be influenced and take the full advantage and benefit. And therefore, to discredit a person, once that person's integrity is questioned, finished, he can't have any influence over others. And that's exactly why you're striking at the root by trying to discredit Haridas Thakur's. It's a wonderful way of seeing, analyzing why it's very important to have this character. And anyone, this particular article says, anyone can come to position of authority by any, somebody may have come by competence, somebody may have come by authority, by position, some by dint of character or some by dint of personality. Doesn't matter how we have come. If we want to remain there, we have to develop the other three. Whatever. If you have come by position, develop the competence, develop the character, develop the personality, whatever. Come by one, take the other three. So, the external reason, as Mahaprabhu took, that's why he took a sannyas cloth, the sannyas danda, while the internal aspect was of Swarup Damodar. Swarup Damodar Goswami, he took, in madness he took sannyas. And his sannyas was because he simply wanted, without any distraction, to serve Krishna, internal. And therefore he did not take the sannyas danda, he did not take the sannyas dress, he did not take the sannyas name. He retained because his focus was very clear. I simply want to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without any distraction of formality, so-called respect that would come, which would be a obstacle in his service. So, in this case, the external aspect is we can expand preaching. The more number of sannyasis who are traveling, they respect, more receptive, it can expand. And internally, this vow shows one's strong desire to increase the determination. Aham tarishyami durantaparam. Determination to go on one's path, increase one's dedication, more and more completely becoming loyal and totally dedicated, increase one's detachment or disinterested in indifference to anything that is non-Krishna, increasing one's devotion to the Lord and increasing one's dependence on Krishna. Absolute, Paramatma in the heart. Like when in the first canto, when Narada Muni in his previous life as a Shudra boy was traveling, Prabhupada writes, as a mendicant should travel for three things: to know the creation, to understand the variety of God's creation, nature of people, everything, nature of people, nature of atmosphere, nature of situation. More you see people, just like in government hospitals, government hospital doctors turn out to be the best specialists because of sheer volume and variety of patients. Yes, it's a fact. Most of the top specialists come from government department, head of department of government hospitals. Sheer volume and the variety they see. So they become very experienced if they are sincere and genuine in serving them. So that's one way of experiencing and understanding people's nature and how best we can serve. The second thing he says is strengthening the mind, that is determination. And third, total dependence. That's why Mahaprabhu told his followers, don't take anything with you. Let's depend on Krishna. Let Krishna work through us. Let us become a transparent via media. So so these are some things that I was recently reading, and I found how this whole system is so wonderful. And if we, to the extent we take it up, it can. I also wanted to. I was also taking my notes yesterday. In the personality of Soliness Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, I have seen over several years all of these internal and external qualities potentially there and was always manifesting. There was a time when his community, the GSB community, at the very beginning years, requested him and offered him the position of their acharya. When they came to know that he's joining Hare Krishna, they were very disturbed because they were seeing that, and when he said, anyway, why not? And that's a very powerful position there in their community. But he was absolutely not concerned. He just refused that. And a few years ago, at the beginning, when the Kolhapur Center, somebody promised to give them a land. A big man from Dubai all of a sudden said that we want to give land. So he sent a secretary. And he was saying, we don't have good land, you don't have people here and all that. But somehow at that time, Maharaj was in Belgaum. So because that was the closest place, they invited him. And the secretary, who was a very intelligent person, he came and interacted with about 15 minutes or so, 15-20 minutes, where Maharaj explained about the vision of ISKCON, and just by seeing that, he was so convinced, he said immediately, yes, 50 lakhs, 25 lakhs for land, 25 lakhs for this. He was convinced just by meeting. So it's really amazing how a new person who's absolutely like, some of us know him for a long time, so we know that. But even a newcomer, just by that disposition, has been able to convince, and just few words actually could inspire that person to see the genuineness of not only the institution, not only the person, but the institution he represents. He is very, very conscientious. One thing about Maharaj I've seen is very, very conscientious. I remember many years ago, very beginning years, when we were living in that two boxes opposite, he was requested by somebody to take some vegetable salad. So he told a devotee, and you brought two tomatoes and one cucumber. So he said, can you please cut it and give it to me? And I said, cut it and give it. And when you cut it, it looks big. We just keep it like that, it looks only two tomatoes. But if you cut it, it looks, and you arrange it in a plate, it looks little more than what it is actually. And he was telling me, if I eat like this, and if someone comes and sees, they'll think, what is this? This person is eating, you know, alone, some nice food stuff. All the brahmacharis out there. Food was also austere at that time. And I said, no, you can eat, no problem. They'll understand you are sick, and therefore. And as he was eating, Dr. Alva came. And the first statement, wow, you eat this every day, huh? Very nice. And immediately I could see in Maharaj's face, I told you, you know, I just told you. This is so very conscientious. What an example he sets. Another time also I remember I had this conjunctivitis. So somebody asked me to wear a goggle. So I couldn't wear goggle on my specs also, because it was the same size. So I removed it and wore a goggle, and we are supposed to go for a program. And we got into the train, and we sat in a local train, you know, three people sitting there, four and four here. So every time, as soon as we went and sat down, he said, just let me see your eyes. He made me remove the glass. I knew for why he was doing it, so that at least the eight people who are sitting should know that he has conjunctivitis and he's not sadhu wearing a goggle, and you know. But in the next station, two people got down and two new people came. Again he said, let me look at your eye again. Eventually, I just lifted my goggle and put it on my head. Another thing was his determination. One time, I think, when he was preaching in SPC, that's where our Sankirtan Prabhu came. At that time, he was a hostelite, and I was asked to accompany him. I went along with Maharaj, and he entered, and somehow instruction was given not to allow through that guard, that door, which guard was guarding, and he was desperate that he wanted to actually. So the guard was instructed not to allow anyone. Absolutely not allow anyone to go, especially the Hare Krishnas. Especially if somebody comes in saffron, because he knew they had come to know. And Sankirtan Prabhu was inside. And he knew, especially this particular number. And the warden's room was just overlooking this. You could see actually the door. And he went, and Maharaj asked him, "So, I want to go." "No, you can't go." "Why?" He was insistent, very gentle but very firm. "No, I want to meet him. That's all." "You can't go." "No, I want to meet him. So what is wrong in it?" Ultimately he said, "No, you." So he went and stood there and started calling that warden. He said, "Let him come out. I want to speak to the warden. Take me to the warden then." And I was wondering, why is he so insistent? He can come later. No, he's particular. No, somehow these people have to give permission. How can they withdraw this permission? So he was insistent. It was like a lover desperate to meet the beloved and blocked by a cruel father and a big brother. But his intensity to meet was so much, ultimately they had to concede, and he actually met. And I was feeling, wow, I said, he can be little quite firm when need be there. Also, total dependence on Krishna. There are many, many instances where I was wondering, how can he is taking this such a risk when he doesn't have anything? I said, no, Krishna will provide. And many times I have seen, last moment the money came for it. Last moment, just 5 minutes before it was to be done. That dependence on the Lord. Even when he was sent out for college preaching, it's just like, you know, he went out of this gate and he didn't know whether to turn left or right, which college to start with. He was just literally pushed out. "You go now, preach." And that is how this wonderful whole college program, basically, college preaching started. He was actually the first person who took it up in a very systematic and steady way, especially in our temple. So, and most of the results that we see have come from those seeds and the blueprint that was made then, which we have followed up later, of course, obviously under the inspiration of Maharaj. So, these are some of the qualities that I was already seeing. And really, yesterday was the culmination point. When you see that, just like Prabhupada says, when a diamond is put in a gold ring, the gold is glorified and the diamond is glorified. So similarly, it is that ceremony marked the placing of a diamond on a gold ring. So enhancing both the status of the integrity of this ashram and also the personality who is actually taking. Both were glorified, I genuinely felt yesterday. Thank you very much. So as a temple president, now I take over. And I would request now...
If one has friends like this, one doesn't need enemies. I think it's time for lunch.
An intelligent enemy is better than a foolish friend. Now I'll request Radhesham Prabhu to kindly... No.
It's time for lunch now. We have to go 1 o'clock.
This is nourishment for us. And this lunch will last a long time.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So I have been going to the ISKCON Juhu program from September 1991. And probably I spent about 3-4 months going for the program. In January, there was a debate competition held by Chopati Temple in Bharati Vidya Bhavan, where Radha Gopinath Prabhu was the coordinator there and Devamrut Prabhu was the judge. It was my great fortune to meet him. That was the first time. And although I had met many Hare Krishna devotees before, after I met Devamrut Prabhu, there was a very great change Like, for example, when he would be coming to IIT, he would come in a car. On the backside, he would carry all the Japmalas and Prabhupada books and a big tiffin carrier with rice, dal, sabji, chapati, sweet, everything. He would carry, and he would be single-handedly carrying all of it. Two, three bags on this hand and two, three bags on this hand. So we would go to help him. So we were very inspired by the sacrifice that he was doing for coming all the way from downtown, from Chapati to that other end of the city. And I also observed that he was very patient in cultivating the youth. Like I saw with my own eyes, one of the very early days, that when one of the boys was playing basketball, wearing his shorts, you know, when Prabhuji would come inside the hostel, he would come and let's just bow down like this. And Prabhuji would pat him on the back, put his hands on his shoulders, and walk with him some little distance. And then Prabhuji would ask him, "So you're coming for the class?" And he would say, no, Prabhuji, I'm going to play now. And he would go back, and he would return back to playing. And Prabhuji would tell him, "Okay, please come at the end of the class of prasadam. Don't forget. Huh? Come at 1 o'clock. So there were also boys like that. So this was a very, very amazing thing for me, very surprising thing for me. Because I have never seen somebody so patient in cultivating someone. So one day I remember when I was coming in the road along with him, walking here, from the Grant Road to here, I think. Yeah, we're walking. So I was a little carelessly walking on the road, and many cars were going very fast. Cars and buses and everything. So I was a very early day devotee. So when Prabhuji was sort of pulling me, like this was pulling me to come to the side of the road. And again I was walking on the road. So then I told Prabhuji told me, "Hey, you are very careless in walking. Come to the sidewalk." So I told him, "After all, we are not this body, Prabhu, you know." I said, "Even if I die, you know, you have taught me chanting Hare Krishna. So better we leave this body and attain Krishna, you know, rather than, you know, suffer in this material body, you know." So then he was preaching to me that although the body, we are not the material body, this body doesn't belong to us in the first place. It is specially given by Krishna for his service. So we have to, and then he told me, "You are a young boy, you have the youth, and at the same time you are getting awakened in Krishna consciousness. So your life is very valuable because you can use it for propagating Krishna consciousness," he said. So another time we were coming, returning here, entering this campus. It was a night time. There was a big pandal put up here. In those days they used to have this dandiyaras or something here. They used to have a party of people. So loud music was going on. So very loud noise. So he just put his hand in my shoulders and he told in my ears, "Yatatohyapi kaunteya purushasya vipaschitaha indriyani pramatini haranti prasavam manah." He said, such kind of passionate music can allure the mind of even an intelligent person. So he was quoting that verse. And he said, "See, we are living in this Bombay, which is a city of Maya. But if you are always thinking of Krishna, we have no problems." He was telling. So one observation I made was that he used to preach very intellectually and very philosophically in IIT, when me, Gauranga Prabhu, and all of us were attending his programs. What deeply affected me were two stories. One was Chitraketu's pastime and Bharat Maharaj's pastime. Those two, after we heard those two pastimes, we immediately decided to join full time. We thought that it was only about 3 or 3.5 months we had attended. So then he told me I have to continue my studies and, you know, after some time I can join. But he would speak very powerfully. Like he would explain this. Dhyayato Ushyan Pumsaha Sangas Teshu. So when you do like this, Dhyayato Ushyan. So he would be very, very graphic in his presentation. and he would bring some pictures from Bhagavatam. He would bring some either Bhagavatam or big posters he would bring. In between the class, he would open out picture and show also. Chitraketu, Bharat Maharaj. Although he didn't have a projector in those days, he would show the pictures and he would recite the shlokas. So I was very, one of the things that deeply touched me was his dedication to preaching. Because he would bring the xeroxes of shlokas and translations from Bhagavad Gita, you know, for every chapter. And he started with chapter 1 and we got up to chapter 18. He continued through the whole year and he would get them all xeroxed and he would give us copies. If somebody doesn't have a copy, he will remember to bring them the next week. And then he would bring these materials like pictures and other things to show. And prasadam he would bring and he would personally serve. So after he would serve prasadam to everyone, after the class, some boys would take prasadam and they would disappear after the class. But some of us would wash our hands and come back to the class. And then that was the time he would ask about our chanting, how many rounds we are chanting and how many we are planning to increase. So that is a little tough session, because he would lovingly prod us to increase the rounds. Also, he would ask us, he would give a book to everyone. This book would be good for you. Take this coming back or take this. Like that, he would give a particular book and he would ask us how many pages we have completed. So every week we had to give a report of how we are reading, and most of the time I would read the same morning before coming to the class. Because I would tell him I have finished some pages of the book. And this is the way he made us increase the rounds also, chanting Hare Krishna. And after the class would be over, 4 or 5 of us would sit with him in the car and we would go to the convocation hall. Side, there is a garden there in IIT. So he would stop the car, he would take us and we would sit in a circle and he would release some special Mahaprasad. Only for 4 or 5 devotees. And then we would report to him about our own hostel. Gaurangpur was in hostel 6, I was in hostel 5. So we would talk about preaching. He would ask about the boys. What about this boy? What about that boy? He would remember. Actually, when I went to Pune and started youth preaching, I didn't have to do anything. It's only the Raghunath Maharaj, Guru Maharaj. He had sent some 6 instructions on which I expanded. And in follow-up principles, I just took from Devamrita Prabhu, whatever he taught. I just did the same thing we are doing in a big way in 25 different colleges. But the principles are essentially the same. What I observed in the way he cultivated. One time, I was very, very study conscious. So, first semester, I had got 9 points on 5. So, and second semester, I was going down a bit. So, I was thinking maybe I should stop going to these classes for some time. After I complete my exams and everything, then I can go. So, 1 week, I overstudied and I got sick. So, when I had the fever, he had sent a chit. He had sent a small greeting card or something. So written something in that. Get well soon. I pray that you get well soon. So next week, I didn't go for the program. That afternoon, he arrived there in the room. Actually, it is very rare that some sadhu enters a hostel and comes. So he came to the room and said, last week, you were having fever. Because this week, you didn't come to class. I thought, I'll just see you and go. And then next week onwards, I started attending regularly after that. So, you will see that follow-up is so important when we are preaching to people. Otherwise, we are likely to lose people. Especially the boys. Nowadays, we get many times department toppers or 10-pointers we get. If you don't follow them up, because they have a crucial tug of war. They like Krishna consciousness, but they also equally like the studies, academics. But Devamrita is to keep an eye on everyone who is coming and who is going. He was very loving, very caring. At the same time, he was very intellectual in presenting the philosophy and uncompromising. At the same time, it was a very wonderful combination. And everyone, whoever was looking for whatever, they got it. If somebody was looking for an intellectual presentation which is convincing, like somebody would ask a long question, at the end of his question, Prabhuji would rephrase. Did I get you right? This was your question. And exactly one word he will capture from the question and understand that this is the problem of this person. And he would answer it in one line and finished. You have to clean bold. So that was one thing that deeply convinced me. One day when one of the first times when I met him, I asked him, I heard that you were working with Standard Chartered and you are an MBA. Is it true? So he said, no, I am only trying to become a servant of Krishna and his devotees. He said, this was probably within the first 1 month of meeting him. So his humility and his sincerity and his dedication, his sacrifice, his enthusiasm. Actually, we would go for the class because he was very enthusiastic. We saw that he is far more enthusiastic than the enthusiasm of all the boys combined, put together. His eyes would be glowing and he would be always smiling with his magnetic smile. And we wanted to see him on Saturday morning, every Saturday. So we would sometimes stand at the gate of IIT. He would come and put us in the car and then take us to the program. Then me, Gauranga Prabhu and all, we started going with him in the car to Chopari Temple here. We started coming with him. And here when we came, we saw how much he works hard to prepare for the program. He personally would single-handedly work hard. So I was deeply inspired by that and understood that if we want to do something good and great in life, we have to be ready to, willing to sacrifice and work hard. And he was very talented. At the same time, he also put in a lot of efforts. Sacrifice of a preacher is very pleasing to the heart of those who are receiving from him. So I don't want to take much time. Gauranga Prabhu is here. We can talk hundreds and thousands of things. In the Chaupati ashram here, as often Guru Maharaj says, in the ashram there, they used to have a wooden cots. So sometimes if you're sleeping on that, somebody wants to open it, they have to open it and all the luggage would be inside. They had wooden cots like that. Night when we would come, sometimes we would come late from IIT here, and Radha Gopinath Prabhu, Shyamanand Prabhu, Devamrit Prabhu, Govind Prabhu, they all would be like shoulder to shoulder, putting their hands in each other's shoulders. They would be talking about their preaching, where they went and whom they met and what happened. They would be whispering and talking, and sometimes I'd be putting my ears to hear what they're talking. So, although the material facilities were apparently very, very poor, their dynamic preaching, their enthusiasm for preaching, their sacrifice, they were all very, very enthusiastic. And I used to go to him personally, and because now we developed so much attachment for him that we would come and spend in the weekends, like Friday evening and Saturday, Sunday. So I would tell him, Prabhuji, you know, we'll have many, many questions to ask you. Then he said, now I'll introduce you to another devotee. Then introduced me to one devotee in the next room. So he said that whenever you come, you can meet him also. And that devotee said, do you have a bead bag? I said, I have a mala with me. He said, yes, come, let us chant together. And then we chanted 8 rounds together. In those days, I was chanting only 4 rounds. You can guess who it is. It's Krishnanand Prabhu. So Krishnanand Prabhu helped me to increase the rounds. And Devam Prabhu, in those days, he introduced me to Shyamanand Prabhu, then Radha Gopinath Prabhu, then Govinda Prabhu. I saw that there are so many magnetic personalities here. And this whole place was like spiritual world. And we felt, actually, I was wondering why to study. Let us just wind up studies as soon as possible and come and join here. So I am extremely thankful to His Holiness Bhaktirasamrita Maharaj for making Krishna consciousness, you know, so practical and so relishable and so lively. Later on, once he took me to the house of Adikesha Prabhu, and there he introduced me to His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. At the first time I met Maharaj. And then when I saw Maharaj, I was amazed. Here is a father of so many powerful children. Here is like the powerhouse who is giving so much shakti to all these people. And immediately I developed a great respect and love for him. And in my life, although I have seen many Hare Krishna devotees before, after coming to Chaupati here, I saw a remarkable change in my appreciation of Krishna consciousness. That is surely due to him. Thank you very much, Maharaj. Thanks.
I'm very focused now. I know lunch is, prasadam is waiting, but I was thinking at least we can have pre-college, that means Adi Leela, pre-college preaching days, and Madhya Leela after college preaching. So I would request Govind Prabhu and Krishnanand Prabhu, and Shamanand Prabhu is here. So, three chapters of the Adi Leela of college preaching. And I would request the byproduct of college preaching, three powerful personalities who are geometrically increasing the product or the input that they received is only, sorry. What can I do? I'm speaking from my heart today. Whatever's in my heart comes out. So, His Grace Gauranga Prabhu, and then Sankirtan Prabhu and Madan Gopal Prabhu. And by public demand later, if there is time permit, then we'll see. So now Govind Prabhu, and then Krishnananda Prabhu first, and then Govind Prabhu, and then Shamananda Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I remember when our President Janeshwar Prabhu, he would be giving Bhagavatam class, and many times in the class he would discuss about Maharajji, saying that he is supposed to join, he is supposed to join, he is supposed to join. Because as Radha Gopinath was mentioning, at Radha Gopinath temple, the collection of the brahmacharis were not of the standard what we see now. They were all like me, so naturally it was not a very good ashram. And therefore, this Janeshwar Prabhu was eager to find someone who could share responsibility. And almost every time whenever he would give a class, this was in 88, he would talk about Maharajji, that you know he's supposed to join. And then because he had to wind up many things. Yesterday, his mother was very happy to see him in sannyas, but when he was joining, it was not like that. She would have nightmares. She would actually see dreams and then she would fly to Kolkata, hoping that he is not joined the ashram, just to see that he is still there. So eventually, when he came to the ashram, then I remember in those days we had Mangal Arati at 6 o'clock. And he joined the ashram and he was also working for Shipping Corporation of India. It was a much smaller job so that he could slowly, you know, wind up everything and join. He moved in here and I remember one day he was resting in the temple hall. And some of us, Maharaj had got up and he was chanting and he saw Maharaj sleeping on a wooden floor. Not this kind of wooden floor, it was coarse, harsh, lot of holes. He was sleeping there and Maharaj said, just see. He said, just see, this devotee is coming from such a background, such a big banker, but he's sleeping so peacefully, dreaming about Krishna. So it was, I still remember that. And then, even though I was working out, as Gopinath was mentioning, I was feeling about this, the cover and the content. Janeshwar Prabhu, he gave up his presidentship and he was discussing who should be the next president. I remember he had a meeting with few of the brahmacharis. And even though we had met him very few times, unanimously all the brahmacharis who were there, they said, no, we want Prabhuji only as our president. Unanimously. It was not that someone saying no. Even there was one devotee. Even while doing aarti also he will be seeing his, you know, muscles while offering the aarti. So even he said no, no. Only he should be made president. Nobody else. So that was as Radha Gopinath was mentioning. So, sometime during the day, we would go to Shipping Corporation office when he would be having his lunch hours, and he would come out, and the cover was different. The cover was different. He would be in pant shirt, but the content was the same. I could agree with Radha Gopinath for what he said. That sometime I wonder, how could he be so sober and cool in all situation? Nothing disturbs him. Sometime I would feel, does he act like that? But if he act, he will be exposed at certain situation. It is an inbuilt nature, inbuilt quality in all kinds of trying circumstances, trying situations. I have never seen Maharaj Ji ever scream at anybody, shout at anybody, insult anybody, never use any harsh words which is insulting. Never seen it. But at the same time, it is not that everything is loose. There was orderliness, discipline. As far as I understand, in regards to developing Radha Gopinath community, Maharaj had the vision, but you have to have people to buy the vision and build it. And from the Grihastha Ashram, Krishna Chandra Prabhu was willing to put all his energy. And from the Brahmacharya Ashram, when Maharaj became president, he took it, the responsibility. So there was Maharaj and his two devotees, because of their dedication, commitment, not only dedication and commitment, that character which made Radha Gopinath what is today. And then, you know, dealing with, it is not, as Radha Shambhava was mentioning, only with the IITians, going to college, talking to the intellectual guys who are very intelligent, being nice to them. Even here in the ashram, one time I remember Sankirtan Prabhu was coming first time to stay in the ashram. It was raining heavily after the program was over, and as Gopinath was mentioned, there was a partition. Everything what would happen on the other side of the partition would be known to the whole ashram. What is happening in Krishnanand Prabhu's room, what's happening in my box, what's happening in Shaman Prabhu's box. And Sankirtan Prabhu is coming first time. Whenever he's speaking loudly also, it's like, you know, very soft spoken. And two brahmacharis are fighting. And that's what Sankirtan Prabhu is hearing. The first experience of Sankirtan Prabhu coming in the ashram was two brahmacharis were fiercely fighting, verbal of course, not physical fight. They're verbally fighting. And that was the first experience. But still, because Maharaji was there, Sankirtan Prabhu was not bewildered, because he had a better taste of being with a better brahmachari. And then in regards to all this system of making circles, chanting, Maharaj gave the vision, but somebody had to implement. No, he would finish his rounds before and then would go around. Yes. Sorry, Guru Maharaj. Yeah. So, Rasamrita Swami Maharaji, he would, Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaji would be arranging the circles, and he would go around every circle and, you know, make devotees understand the value of chanting. Very strict, very disciplined, but doing in a way which would not hurt. We would never ever chant putting our hands like this. It was never allowed. Not here. We have to stand, sit properly. Your hand should be stretched the way Radhananda Maharaj sits. No, it would never be allowed, and he would go around. No. In this way, he created a system of sadhana. And however late he would come from his program, he would never excuse himself for resting. I remember one time I went with him to IIT program, and that was the last time I went. Maybe went few times. It was not a program. All the students, it was a late night program, started at 1 or 12:30. And I thought, what is this? This is a gang of hooligans. They are playing, they are watching television, they are questioning also, you know, the existence of a ghost and connected to God. This kind of strange questions. The program went till 2:30. And then he came back, next morning he was up. And I remember once or twice he got delayed 1 or 2 minutes. Now sometime devotees, you know, push themselves. No, actually Prabhuji, I was running, but then this happened, therefore I got delayed. So please put my P. Justifying. But he was the president. He set an example that when he would come 1 minute late also, he would not take prasad. He said, no, I can't take prasad. How can I take prasad? I'm not setting a right example. And we would force, no, you should, you know, you have come so late. No, I cannot do this. So therefore, he kept such a high standard. So you're forced to follow. Not because he was pushing or threatening, because of the proper behavior. So I was thinking all these years in the Shastra, it is explained that when you do not respect someone who is more advanced than you, it's an offense. But because he was in the Brahmachari ashram, there is this, you know that he is much superior to you, but because the external, you feel, oh, he is also like us only. I joined before him, or we joined together. So this offenses do happen. But the formal, the Varnashram system, actually is such a nice thing. It creates a distinction. And distinction is very important for our own understanding. When externally he is given the higher position, for me, devotees are asking, how do you feel about this ceremony when he was about to be given sannyas? First thing he called some of us, saying that Radharanand Maharaj wanting me to take sannyas. I will only fill up the papers if you all bless me. Before taking sannyas or after taking sannyas, the first statement after he took sannyas, he made that is a very humbling experience. So therefore, when this distinction is made from a Varnashram point of view, then both ways, internally and externally, you are forced to respect. And that is good for us. So on this occasion, I beg his forgiveness for many offenses I did when he was my president, behaving exactly opposite the way he behaves. He would come so nicely and I would be so harsh many times, not wanting to follow the instruction. But this is, as Gopinath was mentioning, the content is the same. It has never changed since I saw him coming as Dilip Uponi, sitting in the same batch where we were getting initiated. But there was same content. From Dilip Uponi to Devamrita Prabhu to Bhakti Rasamrita Swami. The forms, the cover has changed, but the content is the same. So I hope to get some of those content and continue to serve Radha Gopinath. Hare Krishna.
In the armed forces, it is said that you salute the rank and not the person. In Lord Chaitanya's army, you do both. I remember 1988 when the first Gita course was organized. We were told that if you have any questions, the next week, somebody is going to come from Calcutta, who actually is a very good preacher, but he has a job with Standard Chartered Bank. And when we came, that was the first time I saw Devamrita Prabhu, and we ask questions about the law of karma or the Bhagavad Gita. And right from day one, as many of you have heard it over and over, his demeanor, how he would hold himself, his knowledge and grasp of the philosophy was always way beyond most of us here. After that, I heard that he had changed his job and he has taken a job with the Shipping Corporation of India. There is a Shipping Corporation of India building at Nariman Point. And every noon, every day at noontime, he would have a small standing preaching session at Nariman Point. He would meet someone and I was doing my job and I just saw them. So I said, can I join you? So it was not many times, but two or three times I think we met there. And then there is something which I would like to reveal. I hope Govind Prabhu doesn't mind this. I heard there is a rebellion brewing in the ashram. And I asked, what was that? Govind Prabhu said, we don't want a temple president. He became a temple president later. And we don't have a temple president who works outside. We want full time. So that evening I had come and I noticed that nowadays it is not there. I don't think even you have photographs. The kitchen was, the prasadam hall was made and there was a wall built. Maharaja decided that we need to have a first class prasadam hall. So that change, I remarked to Radhakrishna Prabhu that, wow, what a change. He said, wait till you see the biggest change. So I said, what can be more, what has more change than this prasadam hall? He said, Devam Prabhu has shaved up. He has joined full time. So I was amazed. He gave up his job at Standard Chartered, as Maharaj revealed yesterday, based upon Maharaj's desire that someone should dedicate himself. And just this Shipping Corporation was just a transition. And from that time, he was headlong into managing Radha Gopinath Brahmachari Ashram. It was quite a crew at that time. I won't take names, but we used to have sessions where he would emphasize japa, as Govind Prabhu just mentioned, how we should sit straight, how we should chant. Once he said, we need to know that while chanting japa, our mind gets very turbulent and we get very disturbed. And we had brahmacharis at that time who just shot back. This brahmachari said, my mind is never disturbed. So Maharaj had to say, well, no, it's not like that. But we need to chant in such a way that we can control our mind. He says, my mind is perfectly in control. There was another one. Maharaj once told him that you should raise your hands when chanting in the Mangalarti. And one day I saw Maharaj was forcing his hands up and he would put his hands down. So we are talking of Rasamrit Maharaj. So he had, once I was taking rest in the ashram, now that's part of the kitchen there. And for those who know me, I am a very deep sleeper. Normally I never get awakened by noise, of course. But there was some discussion going on and for almost 15-20 minutes I heard there was one fringy kind of fellow who had just come to see ashram life and Rasamrita Maharaj was telling him, please don't go back, please don't go back. So I was wondering, why is he investing so much time? This fellow was never so, he never had shown any desire to join in the first place. And Maharaj was asking him, what will happen when you go back? Your home is in Kerala, what will you eat? Do your people eat vegetarian food? So his taking care of people is exemplary, as Yesterday we saw people came from almost all corners of India, all those people whom he has touched. Not even those whom he has touched directly. Right now I can count on my fingers how Aurangabad is gone. It sprang up just because that debate competition was held there. We had no desire to have a full-fledged center. So even some programs which he had done as a transit kind of thing, there are ISKCON temples coming up there, there are communities coming up there, there is vibrant college pitching happening there. So the way in which he can touch people, it's really exemplary. And once he was sick, and he and Radhanath Maharaj both were taking a course, I think at Atma Santulan village, that is at Karla. And that time Radhanath Maharaj came and related how that time Devam Prabhu was saying, I really want to know how creation takes place. Isn't that Maharaj? He was like 4 or 5 hours just immersed into the third canto, how Lord Brahma, it is described how the creation process. And Maharaj said, just the way to observe Rasamrit Maharaj, deeply immersed in so much of a study of Prabhupada's books, was just so satisfying. Of course, it's not easy to understand the whole creation process, but the way someone applies, like in the Brahmachari class the other day, we were discussing how the class began, how there was so much of opposition. So Rasamrit Maharaj's behavior would always be, as Govind Prabhu said, in contrast with the kind of followers he had. And I also happened to be at the receiving end of so many times of his mercy. Noontime sleeping was something which he discouraged. And many times I would have a very soft feeling near my shin somewhere, somebody gently massaging. And I thought that in this ashram, we don't have people who do that kind of service. But then you wake up and you find that he is telling you to get up. This is not the time to take rest. In fact, the brahmacharis were... We were thinking of shifting up where we are. We were below. And Rasamrit Maharaj was telling... In fact, he was having a kind of a debate with Radhanath Maharaj that they are not preaching. That's why they get these thoughts of having more facilities and we need a proper resting place, we need a proper bathroom. They are not preaching. That's the only reason. If they preach, that would give them all kinds of satisfaction. And fortunately, Radhanath Maharaj pleaded on our behalf saying that if I remember the exact word, he says, they are living like dogs. Let's give them at least some kind of a place which has a resemblance of a shelter. There are mice running here and there. He was completely oblivious to all that. Some of the people, just 4 days ago, 2 days ago, I met a person. He has not come to the temple for the last 15 years. But he's still chanting. And his first question was, where is Devamrita Prabhu? And I said, how do you know him? He said, well, he was the one who took care of me. So I said, do you know he's going to take sannyas? And he was like, oh, really? So there are many, many, many individuals whose life he has touched. And as again, to repeat the military adage, you salute the rank. But in Lord Chaitanya's army, you salute the rank as well as the person. Here we have an example of someone giving a resounding yes to the clarion call of preaching opportunities. And I personally would be very happy to be a foot soldier under him. Thank you, Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, for leading us. And we hope to have many, many more years of shelter under your guidance. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. First of all, I would like to offer my humble obeisances into the lotus feet of His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj. We are discussing the Adi Leela part. So I will be confining to that period of preaching. So I remember I will just give the brief background of before coming to Krishna consciousness, and that will make it a little clear. So I was staying in the hostel, SPC hostel, and studying, and one of my room partners, he gave me Bhagavad Gita as it is by Srila Prabhupada, and I was always looking for reading Bhagavad Gita, but other Bhagavad Gitas were not so like proper, they did not appeal me. So I started reading that, and I was going through that, and I completed reading, but I had not come in contact with any devotees. And that friend used to call me to program, so I used to avoid. But after reading that Bhagavad Gita, I became more curious of having a spiritual master, reading Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting. So I told him that we will go to program where you are going today. So he took me to program at Khar. Every Friday there is to program, and that time His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj came, and he was giving a talk and leading kirtan. But I was not like so open to meet and go and ask some questions or anything. But after the end of the program, there was my friend, he was introducing to some devotees. And he introduced me to His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj. And at that time I felt that my search has come to an end. So that was my first feeling. We did not even started talking, but that was my first feeling. And he had special glee in his smile. And the way he was talking and guiding me was quite inspiring. And that time he told me to come to temple, because next week there was this Bhagavad Gita course was going to start. So I decided, okay, I want to understand Bhagavad Gita and I will go and attend this. So another devotee had given the direction of coming to temple. I just followed how to come to Grand Tour Station, the roads and everything. And finally I came here. It was like a total different thing. Means it was not like a temple now. It was a quite old buildings, students playing, making noises, and inside that was like a small Brahmachari ashram, and there Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj was staying. And I attended the course, and during the course I used to meet him, and once he just like met Shamanand Prabhu and he embraced him, and that interaction was so inspiring me. I was feeling that, oh, this is such a nice lifestyle they're living. They're living so simple life, and this is real, means life actually. Then later on, because I was in the final year of engineering, I was not able to so much come to temple. But once I came to temple, and I met Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj. So that time he again inquired that why you are not coming, please come to temple. And so I said that it's my final year and it's a little difficult, I'm having very short time. So I requested him, if you can come to my hostel there, and there you can explain to me things. So he agreed. And means next week, every Tuesday, we decided that he will come in the evening. And he was dot on time, very highly punctual. And exactly at 6 o'clock, there was a knock on my door, and he was there. And he explained many things. He gave me, I did not have chanting beads also, so he gave me chanting beads, and I started chanting on the beads. And many times, I used to call many students, please come to program, there is a nice program going on, you will hear Bhagavad Gita, shlokas, and but hardly any students would come, very few students. And sometimes I would be alone. But still he would come and talk with me and explain. And one point he had made sure that he would always bring some prasadam, that he would never fail. Once there was nothing, so he had brought one pomegranate. And he gave me that pomegranate. And two times it happened that I could not meet. Means I was not in the room, I was outside somewhere. And but he was on time, he had come to meet me. So that time he just wrote small notes that please take Krishna consciousness seriously. It is an urgency. I have still preserved those notes. So and sometimes I read to get more inspiration. And on the ventilation of the door, he had put Bundi Prasadam packets. And when I came back, then I saw that there is a note in the bolt there, door. And Prasadam packets were also there. And he would come once in a week. So I would take little Bundi Prasadam every day and wait till the next week. Another time when I came to temple, once I came to temple and it was in the afternoon, and I met him, and in that small place where now kitchen is there, where the Brahmacharya Ashram was there, he was sharing with like Radhar Gopinath Prabhu was there, and his wooden bunker was there. So there I saw the books of Srimad Bhagavatam. They were in the small bundles. Earlier in the black coverings were there, and there were like 30 books in something, 6 bundles or something. So once I just saw those books, I wanted to read, because I was looking for Srimad Bhagavatam. So I asked him, what is the price and how can I get these books? So it was something 1111 rupees something. So some other arranged the money and gave, but how to get the books now? So I requested him that I need these books. So he said that there is no problem. And next time he came to hostel, he brought actually 2 bundles of books. And I was not there, but he left with my neighbor, means a student who was staying in the next room. And means I saw those books and I started reading. And but as Radhesham Prabhu explained, that he would carry prasadam and so many things, preaching material. And so now I can realize that how much like trouble I have given to him, that coming all the way from here to Andheri just to meet one student there. And that's a big sacrifice in itself, actually. then he would request so many times to come to temple and stay. But as I'm very stubborn, as to avoid. And so one semester exam was over, and then I decided, okay, let me just go to temple and take darshan. And so I told him that you please come in the evening, and I was waiting there. He also came on time, and he asked me whether you want to come by bus or you want to walk. So I thought that better I will walk, because I can talk with him and ask some questions. So we prefer to walk. Then we reached to station, and then we took the train. And while we were in the train also, like, I was asking questions, and but still he was aware of the other people watching, and there was one person who was hearing something. So he felt that he's interested, and he offered some prasadam to him. Mm-hmm. So that was means how he was, every opportunity, how every person could be encouraged in Krishna consciousness. That was his always priority. Then when we reached to temple, it was quite late, around say 9 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock or something. And then he brought me to backyard there, and he gave a full plate of prasadam. So that time it was not like a opulent prasadam. Means that time it was very simple prasadam, but he had told Pujari to keep prasadam, and that was all evening. Sandhya Bhog Mahaprasadam was there. So I was later on, I was thinking that means he must have told that some student is coming, so please keep some prasadam. So that was quite encouraging to me. And then later on, like once it happened that I came to attend one program, Radhanath Maharaj's program, and it so happened that it started raining so heavily that I could not move. Means that was the first time I had to stay in the temple, and for 3 consecutive days. Because the trains were stopped, everything was raining, everything was flooded in Mumbai. So I could not move at all. And as Goenpo was explaining that pastime, I was just complete dead. It happened that 2 devotees were like having some verbal clashes. And so later on, Maharaj took me aside, Tirasamrut Maharaj took me aside and told that he in fact take blame on himself, and he said that I am president and it is my responsibility. I am actually responsible for such things. So I was thinking that how it is possible, how he is responsible. But still he was taking responsibility on himself. So that was there. And many times, like, I would come suddenly in between and meet him, and he was in a hurry to, he used to be in a hurry to go for some programs, and we had a bathroom there, behind bathrooms, and he used to ask me, okay, can you come there? We used to have question answer session in the bathroom. He used to wash clothes, he's squeezing the clothes, and he's looking at me and answering questions. And so I was thinking that, I mean, he was so patient, like he was not like wasting time, avyartha kalat. Even that time also he was utilizing. And sometimes once I was like quite late, like evening time, and I was asking questions, it was quite almost at 10:30, 11 o'clock. But still he was answering, means he, so the amount of sacrifice he has done for all of us to bring into Krishna consciousness is tremendous. And as I was explaining that when I met him first time, I felt that my search has come to end. So at one time, actually, I asked him that I want to take Diksha from you. This was because I didn't know actually who are the gurus and who are the initiating spiritual masters. But as the humility is the hallmark of a devotee, he humbly said that it is my responsibility to take someone to my spiritual master. So that was means quite important actually, because he was not taking credit to himself or thinking that I have cultivated him or he is my follower or something, but he was offering everything to his spiritual master. So transparently he was doing that service. So and then later on, of course, college preaching increased and many devotees came. And of course, one more point I would like to tell, that because Radha Gopinath Prabhu told also that the rector did not allow to come inside, and actually did not know this part, that means you had to wait outside and struggle so much. So later on I came outside and met, and but I was also thinking that now he is not able to come inside, but I will do something else so that the program continues. And then I wanted to have a program in the college, in the main college. So I wrote one letter to principal that we want to conduct such and such program. I took date from him also. And the title was given The Goal of Life. Mm-hmm. And I was approaching students to bring many students and put the leaflets on the different classes outside. And then later, that program was held in the quadrangle of the college. Mm-hmm. And that time, Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj came and Shukdev Maharaj was also there. And I called many students and some college professors also there, and they attended. And of course, later on, Madan Gopal Prabhu will continue, because that was his first program. And he was observing, somebody is coming there to meet me, and he didn't come, but after attending that program, then he came more forward. So I am very grateful to His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj to showering so much mercy upon me, without knowing that whether this student will become a devotee or not, come to Krishna consciousness. And sometimes, like another point, follow-up is quite important, as Radhesham Prabhu was explaining, that how to follow people actually, otherwise without which they will not remain there. So after exams also, like I was a little bit not certain whether to continue studies, do job or what to do. So that was a different time almost every student undergoes after they complete the graduation. So that time he used to call me on the phone calls that please come, are you chanting or not? And of course that time I had become little slack, but because of his follow-up, again I started coming to temple and then later on committed here. So I'm very thankful to His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj. Hare Krishna. His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj ki.
It's getting late, so I won't be speaking much. I'd like to thank Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj for all the wonderful things which he has done for all of us, especially at IIT. And just one thing that I had to go to, you know, when I first went to IIT. Then my room partner was our, I don't know, Nayan Ranjan Prabhu, and now Sadhu Maharaj. So he used to, you know, visit his programs. And then he used to visit various spiritual personalities, sometimes Chinmayanand, sometimes, you know, our Yoganand Paramahams. Every 6 months he used to change. But only this Hare Krishna kept on going for more than a year, so I was curious what's going on. So then our Krishna Kumar Prabhu, he came up and said that there is one very interesting personality who's coming. We used to be very bored in IIT, so we used to be looking for interesting things, what's happening. So he said he's a banker in an MBA, he's worked in Standard Chartered, and then now he's a sadhu. I said, how can it be possible? MBAs don't become sadhus. So then he said that he also gives lectures in English. I said, I've never heard that. The sadhus give lecture in English. And then he said, and he also drives Maruti van and comes. And then I said, that is too much. I must see this person. So, different people come to Krishna consciousness different ways, you know. So I just came just to see, like, who's this personality, you know, who's defying my stereotyped understanding of a sadhu. And then, of course, after we met, it was like, I would say, love at first sight. Also for Madan Gopal Prabhu, I think. And really grateful to you for all that time which you spent. Very difficult to explain the details of the context in which things happened in those times. Very confusing periods. This temple was going through transition. And like Radhesham Prabhu was one of the first very close friends we had in Krishna consciousness. And that also happened by Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj's mercy, because Radhesham Prabhu used to come with this, Vibhuti. So three like this, all the way like this till here. You know, and I used to feel embarrassed being near him, because it was IIT and all my other college, you know, hostel friends used to look at me, who's he talking to? So I was a little afraid, because I had not myself declared as a Hare Krishna so early. So then Maharaj used to tell me that, you know, Ramakrishna, he's a fantastic person. If he becomes a devotee, he's going to convert many. He's a born preacher. And he used to tell that somehow you have to take care of him. So our Radhesham Prabhu would never take care of his, you know, physical needs. And sometimes he would come and say, our Maharaj has a habit of asking, did you sleep well? You know, I used to find it very strange, because that was never a problem for me. Did you have good sleep? So then I realized, then Radhesham Prabhu would come up and say, last three days and three nights I have not slept, because I was doing this project work and this and that, and not eaten also. So he used to be very concerned. And one of the first services, the first Vaishnava seva I remember doing is, you know, carrying some prasad, packing it and taking to the lab, you know, and trying to convince him to eat. It was a whole paradigm shift for me. I've never done that to anyone. Like, I never knew that, you know, this would also be a problem, that you would have to convince someone to eat. So it was his concern I could see, and because of his concern I started like looking beyond his three lines, that okay, there is something special in him that he's seeing, and I think I should also. And then he's the one who ultimately also made me take up a job in Pune so that I could assist him, because he had that tremendous enthusiasm to preach in amongst the youth and all that. So that's how things began. So, you know, a lot to say, but I would now request Madan Gopal Prabhu for correction. Isn't that yesterday Gopinath was supposed to do the MC, Master of Ceremonies, and he said, my throat is not well. And I'm wondering, in 24 hours there has been such a turnaround.
Hare Krishna. I won't take long again. It's quite late. But anyway, it's a fortune, I would say. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kahi, Lav Matra Sadhu Sangha, something like that. Maybe of the one of the two, three occasions when Devamrupu, maybe all the two, three. Only fortunate thing for my life was my room was opposite to Sankirtan Prabhu's room. That was the, we never talked. Somehow or other, just meeting him or attending a Hare Krishna program a year before that or something like that. And maybe because of some home samskaras, I had practice to get up early in the morning. So only in the whole of hostel, at 6 o'clock in the bathroom, we were only two persons, myself and Sankirtan Prabhu. I would get up, chant some other mantras and then study. Every day, it would, at 6 o'clock, we would, 6, 5.30, something like that. We were there in the hostel, no one, complete, everyone was asleep. And our only exchange was a smile. He would give me a smile and I would give him a smile. Because he was 2 years senior to me, so not much communications. And then two, three times I saw Devamrut Prabhu or Bhakti Rasamrut Maharaj. But that time he was Devamrut Prabhu. So coming up and putting a, waiting for 2-3 minutes outside Sankirtan Prabhu's room. And then, because my room was opposite, I did not talk with him, but I would see. And then putting up a, writing up a chit then and over there. And putting up in his drawer, not drawer, in his nut bolt of the drawer and go back. I was not fortunate to attend his lectures in the hostel in Sankirtan Prabhu's room. But I was fortunate to attend that quadrangle lecture. And only 30-40 students were there at that time. Only thing which I remember, Prabhuji was a little bit pressing me to come for the Gita course, which was going to begin immediately after 10-15 days. But some other, as Sankirtan Prabhu said, I also equally decided I won't go this time because submissions were coming. Excuses. But then I also promised him that I will come in the month of June, which generally students doesn't fulfill. So he was thinking that whether he will come or not. Only one thing I remember during that quadrangle program was that we, as I mentioned, we were only 40 students and there was nice halwa prasad and there was given in the paper plates. So Sukhdeva Maharaj was distributing and then he saw my 100 paper plates are over only amongst the 40 students. So what was happening that we were throwing our plates and taking the prasad again. So Prabhuji announced that you can come back and take second, third time prasad but get your own plates again. So then we said, oh, it's open. We don't have to do some trickery. So we took lot. We finished water he had got. He also gave the book. Certainly, I could not have much contact with him after that because he was not allowed to come in the hostel. Sachin Prabhu and Raghunath Prabhu later on used to come. But some other, I knew that he was always keeping the track on how the program is going on in Sankirtan Prabhu's room. I would not take much. But then I met him first time again in June 6th, I think, in Raghunath Prabhu's house, Gams Tower. Ranath Maharaj's program was there. And then immediately after 2-3 days after that, the Gita course was beginning. So I came, he made sure that I get a proper entry and things like that. Many things are there to be spoken, but it's late, so I won't take long. But anyway, I'm grateful to him eternally for nurturing my spiritual life for past many years. Hare Krishna. His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrut Maharaj ki jai.